This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Fascinating. Feels like times have changed.
I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this. I saw something, they saw something. There was a lot of light. That's all I remember.
You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Now, where are my people? The 70 billion people of Earth, where are they hiding?
Since you've slept?
I don't know. Funny. I never seem to get tired. But I know I haven't slept since this thing began.
Feels like times have changed.
I'm talking about it, and I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this. I saw something, they saw something. There was a lot of light. That's all I saw.
It's time somebody had a dream again.
It seems to me that the overall vagueness of your memory suggests that we might clarify them a little bit by hypnosis. Would you be agreeable to that?
Hypnosis?
It's a simple process. It's sometimes very helpful in cases of psychological trauma when people have difficulty remembering what happened to them. It's not exactly the electric chair. I'm going to count to 10 as you're falling asleep. When I'm finished, you'll be deeply, deeply asleep. One, falling asleep. Two,
asleep. Three, falling asleep. Four, falling asleep. Five, falling asleep.
Take a break from the day. The name of the show.
Night Shift.
Young again in a something. Do you remember? all began. It just seemed like heaven, so I did it. Do you remember back in the car?
Feels like times have changed.
I'm talking about it, and I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm talking about it.
Designed to keep me inside, but it keeps everyone else in too. I'm sorry. It's an invisible barrier. Keeps anyone from getting out. It's designed to keep me inside, but it keeps everyone else in too. I'm sorry. Consuelo, they're not human. Consuelo, they're not human.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Thank you.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. The name of the program.
Night Shift.
It seems to me that the overall vagueness of your memory suggests that we might clarify them a little bit by hypnosis. Would you be agreeable to that?
Hypnosis?
It's a simple process. It's sometimes very helpful in cases of psychological trauma when people have difficulty remembering what happened to them. It's not exactly the electric chair.
Don't you know who I am?
Mondays.
Of course I know who you are. You think I'd have to come into my son's life without checking you out?
Once a week.
I hired you for your abilities as a
here,
teacher, not as a father.
Come down. Sponsored radio.
Now don't give me any argument.
So gay.
We're live.
The ice is gonna break!
Is like science fiction.
Night Shift.
Music.
Come on. Let's go.
Talk.
Be with us.
Cultural analysis.
Think I'd have you come into my...
Talk about life.
Night Shift.
Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am?
Here on Listener Sponsored Radio.
Only once.
WBAI.
Be with us.
Night Shift.
Don't you know who I am?
The seal prophecy. Between the darkness and the light, everyone must choose universal bliss. Wisdom is the key. To the heart of prophecy. Seal of prophecy. Messengers have come and gone. The struggle still goes on. Synagogue, temple, mosque, church, each and every place we search. Seal of prophecy.
Very simple, and maybe very difficult to understand. If you try
old
to
ones
understand
will see
in your mind, in your thoughts,
young ones
in
will dream dreams.
Is a more appropriate word. Enlightenment, because it is a forever movement through that which you call the Father, God, the Source, Creator, Creative Spirit, a forever movement. Enlightening, forever making that journey into the Father. You, in this moment, are thinking. But what is difficult to understand is in this moment we are not thinking. We know how to use thought, but we are not thinking. We are not identified with thought. Well, all that is within us and of us is that which is called silence. And the words that come in this moment, come deliberately, consciously. Enlightened means a master of thought. Thought is a great tool, but oftentimes man has become imprisoned. Woman has become imprisoned by thought. We are not imprisoned by thought. Rather, we know how to use thought when it is appropriate, as a creative rising, rather than as that which is called a bondage. We do not worry when we are with you, as we are with you now. There is nothing that we are more focused upon than that which you are. When we are with you, as we are with you now, there is nothing that we are more focused upon than that which you are. But simultaneously, like the waves of a radio, we are focused into nothingness. We are focused into all things. Contemplate. There is a radio station broadcasting radio frequency. There are many radios, and the music or the voice is equally received by all of them. That is the way we are focused upon you. But we do not worry. We are not bound by thought. Because when we are not with you, we love you, but we don't think of you.
It's time. You tune to listen to Sponsored Radio. 99.5 FM and streaming on the web at WBAI.org. The name of the show, the feeling you're going to have. To listen to Sponsored Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM. I have a special co-host with me this evening, or this morning, depending on your perspective. Are you there, Tana?
I am.
Tana, how are you?
I'm good.
You're calling us from sunny California.
Yeah, from Los Angeles. I wish we had a station this good in Los Angeles.
Well, now let me ask you, do you feel that the true meaning of Los Angeles, which is City of Lost Angels? Have you encountered any Lost Angels yourself?
I've experienced my lost car in, like, a parking ramp.
Stop. I understand.
I have to ask you, sure. Now, you got to tell me, and I know this is true, I don't even need to ask you, you came out of the womb with that voice, didn't you?
No, you know, it's funny. No, I didn't come out of the womb with this voice. I do remember when it changed.
You were three, weren't you?
No, I was not three, believe
me. You were like, Mom, I need some milk and pass the cookies
Not at all.
It is so velvety, sexy, pretty much the most velvety voice I've ever heard.
Your check is in the mail. Well, Tana Frederick, for those who don't know who you are, Tana Frederick is an actress and provocateur. And she's currently on DVD in a film called
Hollywood Dreams.
And she's the star of the film. And she's worked with Henry Jekyll a number of times. And you have something else in the works that's coming out later this year?
Yeah, I have. There's another film called Irene in Time, and that is going to be coming into theaters probably early November.
All right. Well, Tana is here because when we had her as a guest, she was so much fun.
Aww.
We decided to bring her back.
I feel not cool enough for the station, though, now.
No. You're cool enough for the station, you know. Believe me. So now, I sent you what the agenda is now. Since you're somewhat, even though you've been a guest, now you're kind of a virgin as a co-host.
Ooh, I sure am.
And the theme of the show, the thinking of Night Shift is that life is like science fiction.
Love it.
You see some of the stories that I sent you that just kind of accentuate that point. You're not.
I did.
And so as we go through this, for those who are listening, this is Night Shift. And for those who know, you know where you are. Let's say, who else is here with you? Is someone else here?
Who else?
Look, now, Tana, I have another co-host who hosts now. Just to give you a little history, Tana, he was on the air when you were on, when we had you and Henry on.
Oh, good.
Great. It was probably the highest rated show that has ever been.
There it is, see?
Really?
Chris?
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, if you go to Life is Like Science Fiction website, it's gotten like 80% like hits.
There it is.
Oh, my gosh, that's fantastic.
That? See? So yeah, okay, that's why we had to bring you back. And Tana is co-hosting with it. Now, Chris is the original host. He's sort of like the Sean Connery.
Wow.
That's right. He's the original host. He left and then came back. This is sort of like Never Say Never Again.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is. The original came back. But this morning, Joe is not here. Joe, who was on with me last time, I don't think he said too much last time you were in here, Tana. But Elena is supposed to put in an appearance at some point. So we'll see if that happens. Now, the theme of the show, Chris, did you get the theme? I sent you the theme as well.
I'm up at that big antique show. So that's, I'm out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, Tana, Chris is a pirate.
A pirate.
That's right, but he's a land pirate. He goes hunting for treasure on land.
Nice.
Yes. Then he sells his booty.
I do that too.
Yes. he sells his booty on eBay.
Really?
Yes.
And what kind of booty do you get?
It can go from
all booty all the time.
What kind of? I'm talking from the womb. it varies. You know, anything that is something that I haven't necessarily seen before that could be pre-1920s and earlier. So, like, from, you know, documents to, like, you know, I've sold, like, very rare light bulbs from 1893 and all kinds of just, you know, eclectic, weird, funky, you know, museum type, you know, finds if you can find them, and then somewhere.
And it finances his ranch in Westchester, Tom.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, it doesn't fully, but, you know, it's amazing some of the stuff that's out there that can be found every day, you know. It's true. You can, you know, yeah.
He's a treasure hunter. There
Do you have, like, a particular thing that really floats your boat, like you specifically?
Whatever he can get a lot of money for. No, I'm kidding.
You know, actually,
like the light bulbs, is that something you see?
No,
you
know,
light bulb in your excited?
That was just kind of a fluky thing that was, you know, was in some old barn up on a shelf. There were these old, like, four or five of these light bulbs, and they were worth about $5,000 a piece. So, I mean, that was, and they're very rare. And why they were all together is, that's a story, you know. But these items and these things, you know, sometimes they're in somebody's house for, you know, 100 years, and then it surfaces, and there's a recycling tip to it too, which is kind of interesting, because people, you know, some people, you know, all these items are being used again in some ways, in some collectible vibe, or some stuff like furniture, people are reusing that. So there's a good recycle side of this that is nice too. But
I think that's fantastic. You know, everything in my house is actually, I have a great flea market near here, and I go hunt. I'm a pirate too, if you will. And
yeah.
Everything in my house is recycled. I mean,
yeah.
You know, not like usual, like shaving razors and such, but, you know, all the furniture, because I love that with a sense of history behind it.
Yeah,
I love going
in.
It's
exactly.
Wonderful. It's, it
you
makes
know,
the
I mean,
house more alive.
you know, there's just things that you can find that are just amazing. And people have found things that are very, very, you know, just recently, you know, somebody found an original manuscript for, I think, one of the American revolutionary songs or something on the back, in the back of a frame, you know.
Oh, so, that's, you know, cool.
You know, what I get excited about is something that like, I recovered these, the records for the Saratoga Poorhouse, up in Saratoga, New York. I recovered their original records, and they went to the
just so you know, Tana, I knew him back when he had a real life, and
yeah,
he used to own a recording studio, have long hair, have bands in Peter Gabriel.
I actually still own a recording studio, but
yeah, but he's not there now. Now he goes hunting for treasure.
I still have the studio. There's just no money in the
All right,
music.
Chris, don't continue. I have to put different music behind you. All right, so let me give you the theme. The theme of the show is resolution. Now, here's the thing. If you look up the word resolution, there are all these definitions, but you don't really see the definition that we all put to it, or I think most people put to it, and that's emotional resolution. So here's the question, Elena.
Oh, Elena's there?
Elena, she appeared in a puff of illogic.
It's dead.
Yeah, that's right. And the question is, how have you benefited from it? And I'm going to have you answer, Chris. And how are you losing out from not having it? Anywhere that you have resolution or where you do not have resolution? Because here's my theory. My theory is the one thing that has the highest mortality rate for relationships is resolution, a lack of resolution. When I've seen families, sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers, you know, daughters, that sons that don't talk, because there's something unresolved between them. They just never worked it out. So, resolution. Are you with me, Tana?
I sure am.
Maybe I should make you the guest host. I should make you start to answer first. Now, for you, Tana, any on both counts, anything that you came to resolve that greatly improved your life and you benefited from it, whether it's in a relationship or within yourself?
You know, as you were saying that, I'm thinking back and I'm thinking of what I actually have resolved in my life, and I don't think there's one thing that I've actually come to terms with. But you know, that's kind of okay, because as an artist, you're continually recycling, you know, those what ifs and should I have, and oh, I did that, but maybe I shouldn't have. You're constantly, you know, refueling your work with all of the things that all of your unresolved issues. And so, you know, I think that's one thing that's nice about a Jaglom film, is it's all about unresolved issues. And, you know, so I got to think about that one for a while.
Okay. Well, you know, I'll say this about being an actor. I would think that part of the work that you have to do to become any character is to plumb the depths of your soul. And very often the research, I think, if you're lucky, your art will take you where you need to go to not only be successful in the art, but to become successful as a person. So hopefully they're intertwined. Does that make sense to you?
I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think it's you know, all of those little things that are left unresolved that are complete gold mines or little gems that you actually live off of, you know, and that you dredge up every night when you're doing theater or you're doing a film or whatever. Did I just repeat everything that you just said?
No, but you definitely put your spin on it, because this is what you do. I mean, this is my theory on acting, but I'm not like an actor out there acting. Okay, now.
What you said was right.
So then let me ask you this. Are there any things, whether they're within yourself or in a relationship, and you don't have to name names, where there are things that are unresolved and you know you're missing out because you have not resolved it?
What a good question. I think there's always things unresolved with your parents, you know, living or not living, that I wish that I could resolve and probably won't ever again. It comes to the no resolution clause, but I don't think that I've resolved a lot of things with my parents. I wish I could, because there's always the adult child thing, you know, that I think a lot of people don't address when you get into your adult years. That it's like, oh my God, am I a child? Am I an adult? And the whole, yeah, that's a whole personal well of.
Well, I like that phrase you put, you threw in there, the no resolution clause, that that is part of a lot of relationships. So,
yeah.
Elena?
Yes?
As the other female, I'm assuming you have a lot of unresolved things there, Elena. but is there anything that you've in your life that was unresolved that you did finally resolve and you really benefited from?
No, I agree. I have none.
You have resolved nothing. I understand. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
If anything, it's a negative number.
I understand.
And I agree, too, with your assessment. I think as you get older, scabs with certain members of your family or...
Scabs?
Scabs.
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 Is that like a Memphis phrase for...
For ow.
Okay. You know, I love that. I love
never
that.
Heard about that.
They
okay.
become less likely to heal and more likely to scar.
I understand. Well, the longer that you it remains unhealed, the more likely
that.
To scar.
And again, as you get older, you're more stubborn. You're more unlikely to. As much as you want to be even more self-reflective and more evolving, it sometimes reverts to the other direction.
And so then you end up walking around with a lot of unresolved issues. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
It's very sad, Elena.
Hmm.
It's a very sad view.
It's not sad.
It's a sad view, Elena. Sad.
Well,
all
shame
these people
on me.
Walking
then.
Around, the older they get, the more unresolved they are. That's not true.
Well, it depends on the individual. No, it's just like everything we talk about.
I'm just being contrary, Elena. All right, so, Chris?
Nobody touched nothing. Nobody touched nothing. Leave my scabs alone.
Do you have any scabs with your family? No, Chris, anything that you now, I Elena, before I go to Chris, I have to ask you now.
Sure.
Are there any things that you really would like to resolve, either between you and another person or within yourself, that you really like to resolve?
Of course. I mean...
Hit me. Anything you're willing to admit here?
No.
Elena...
That's the
right on.
That's the first step into
exactly.
Disresolution.
That's your first resolve. I will not admit anything. I, Your Honor.
Therefore, I will not resolve.
I understand.
Now, we all have a wish list. But
well, give me one thing from your wish list that you'd like to resolve, or from a relationship you'd like to resolve. Time's
no,
up.
I would like to be more giving, I think, and stop.
No, well, what? There's got to be something. Well, no, what is it that you are have to resolve in order to forgive? I mean, where does your not being forgiving become something unresolved? What's unresolved?
I'm not forgiving of myself. Therefore, I still like refrain and just hurt people even further.
So you're not forgiving of yourself, so you hurt people further.
Yeah, and I. Shelter myself and put myself into a shell.
Well, I understand all that, Elena, but resolution, what is unresolved that is making this happen in to you?
I'm unresolved my own personality, I think. That's so got to be the first step. And
like you're not sure of who you are, is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm sure of who I am, but am I sure enough to be able to, like, resolve these issues? I don't think so.
Are you sure about what you're talking about right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chris? Chris?
Yeah, man. I'm just listening to Elena, man.
I know. I'm trying to understand her. Tana?
You can see my confusion.
Tana?
Yes?
Did you understand Elena?
I totally understood her.
Well, you see, clearly you two are talking the same language. What the hell is she talking about?
I mean,
could you translate?
Come on. I still have her scabs in my head.
I understand.
It's so true. The older you get, the more stubborn you are, and the more that you are so resilient that you think that you're a grown-up and that you can treat your own scabs, and you just want to pick off that top layer, and then they pus again.
I understand.
See?
We can take this metaphor.
We're talking some pus in here.
We can take this metaphor pretty far.
I like that. I like the pus in.
It really registered with me. That really rang true.
Well, there it is. Chris.
All right, so the boys have to talk.
Well, Chris says, is there anything you're trying to resolve, Chris?
There's, we're into some way. personal people.
I realize this is personal. I think we have to open up the phones and take some anonymous calls because nobody wants
maybe
to
maybe they're normal.
Nobody, and that's interesting, too, that nobody wants to admit what they've...
I mean, you know what, I'll say this. I mean, like,
please.
Two weeks ago, you know, I saw Return to Forever, and which is, they hadn't played together in 32 years. And, you know, I saw these guys back in 1976, and the reason why I really became a musician and pursued music was because of the influence of these guys. You know, Al Di Meola being 19 and Lenny White and Stanley Clarke and Chick Corea, and you know, and then meeting these guys and then eventually becoming friends with Lenny and Stanley and hanging out with them, and they were just so influential and gracious to me, and you know, like the same effect we had on Danny, which is an example of somebody that used to our show that we affected their his life.
Chris.
Yeah.
What is he talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about? Where's the resolution come in there, babe?
The resolution is this.
Resolution?
I'm waiting.
So when I
for the resolution.
Is it resolution or a resume?
Exactly.
I like
well,
to talk.
In the beginning.
Anyway, I'm talking.
Moses said.
I have a resolution question for everybody.
Okay.
This is something I've wanted to resolve for a really long time.
Don't say it yet, Tana, because if you do, Chris will never finish his point.
Oh, Chris, I'm sorry.
Sorry,
it's
finish
okay.
Your point. Go ahead.
Care less about my point. But anyway, I'll be very quick.
Okay.
Anyway, my point is that so I went and saw them, and the first time they had played in 32 years together, and my point was, is as I was sitting there watching them play, I started reflecting on my own musical, what I've done or haven't done in my life, and, you know, I had a whole resolve thing in my head of, you know, I need to maybe not be, you know, pursuing the antiquing thing as much as I'm doing and get back to, you know, music. And that's what my point was. So I had to set it up, and I didn't mean to just go off on a whole thing. So this is, so I'm in the middle of, you know, a resolution in my own head that, you know, I'm going to start, you know, working on some music in a big way very shortly. So does that answer your question? Is that a good, you know?
You know, it's
he's in the midst of resolution.
It's, you know, I'm glad you're telling me all this. I don't know that it necessarily is, but you know, you've strengthened your resolve. In other words, you've kind of come back to yourself. It sounds like
you know, my own roots. You know, I think that, it, you know, you get back to, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, happen with people that are an example of resolution that Elaine is talking about and stuff, you know, but, and those are current in my life. And yeah, there's a lot of personal stuff, and I think we carry them around. It doesn't have to, as Captain Kirk would say, doesn't our resolution define us, you know, whether we attempt to do it or don't attempt to do it. You know, is it the pain in our life that defines us? It makes us who we are. Is really the question here.
Well,
right?
Yes, that is what Kirk said. Okay, does our pain define us? Now that's a good question. I like that question. Now, Tana.
Yeah.
What was your resolution question?
No, it's way too lame now to even ask.
Oh no!
Chris was just amazing, and I.
Oh. No, you asked the most amazing questions. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, but this, I just promise you that this is way too immature for this listening audience. Okay, so the thing I'm unresolved about is...
We haven't taken any calls yet, dear. That's why you're saying
yeah.
That.
Okay. Nobody want to call after this. Okay, so to Facebook or not to Facebook?
That's your question.
I mean, what is it? I don't know. I mean, is it lame to do it? I mean, is it really immature to do it? You can, like, poke people and you can send them good karma and you could... green thumb people and people put pictures up there, and it's really like, you know, some people I send it to because I just think, oh, this is a good way to keep in touch with friends and family and relatives. And then other people I send, you know, will you be my friend, get really hostile and say my 13-year-old daughter won't let me Facebook, and so I'm kind of, I just want to know from you guys, because you guys are obviously intelligent and very deep, what do you think about Facebook?
Elena,
you know what Facebook
Elena?
Is?
No, I totally, please.
Okay.
Yeah, I, you know,
yes,
listen, I'm
you know.
Well aware of all this cyber interaction. But Elena, what, you have thoughts on Facebook? Do you have any? Because, you know, I could go,
I personally
I could
don't
go
do
off.
It, but...
I could go off.
I told you, I've alienated myself.
No, you haven't alienated
no.
yourself.
Sure, I think okay. A lot of people get a lot of good stimulation and...
Good stimulation. Understand.
It's not that kind of
good
Facebook.
Stimulation. Elena says,
I think
Facebook causes good stimulation. I think we're going to have you work for Facebook, Olivia.
It's like textbook. But I've seen a lot of people get, again, like, inspirated.
Inspirated.
I made that word up.
Inspirated. I understand.
That's my Facebook word.
Were you inspirated to heal your scabs there, Olivia?
It's just that I'm too cheap to buy the Band-Aid.
Or the dictionary.
No, that's what that
is. I'm worried that Facebook actually sucks the intelligence from me. Like,
why?
You know,
you're being creative. You're sharing yourself.
I think the concept of Facebook is actually... No, but no, I'm Kristen, you have any thoughts on Facebook? Chris is big on this stuff. Chris?
No, I mean, you know, I think it started with...
Social networking.
The what?
Social networking.
You know, what's happened is the world is becoming a lot smaller.
Is that what it is?
It also is opening up the world to become a little more dangerous. You know,
the world is becoming more dangerous.
You know, because of the accessibility, you know, it's something else that you have to kind of monitor, you know. You know, I think MySpace has turned into a global advertising medium.
Everything's a global advertising medium.
Yeah, I think that, you know, everything is, but now...
So,
MySpace
should she Facebook, Chris? Can you answer the question?
Well, Facebook and MySpace are very similar.
Their Facebook is much more evolved.
Yeah.
I'm totally kidding. I mean, okay, is it worth it to know what kind of a martini your ex-boyfriend of 12 years ago sends you on the mend a friend of martini? I don't know.
Chris just got consumed by feedback. We don't really know what happened. Facebook, exactly. Well, I'll tell you, here's my thoughts on Facebook and MySpace and LinkedIn and High Five, and I mean, there's at least a good solid half dozen out there. I mean, you know, they all kind of serve the same purpose, you know. A, to put yourself out there, or B, to connect either to old friends or connect to new people that might have similar interests. So it's all a certain level of networking. I think it depends, you know, on what you are there for. You know, if you're there to network, I'd probably say you might go to LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is not about putting up pictures of yourself and, you know, hi, it's me, whatever. But but Facebook, and again, you're an actress. So to me, as an actress, you know, you have to put yourself out there. You have to be, you should have a Facebook, you should have a MySpace, you should have all of them. And because whoever and wherever you would network and put yourself out there, wherever you could get the word out about whatever you're doing, you should take advantage of. Because you know why? Because you are Tana Incorporated.
Oh, God.
Well, that's the deal. That's the real deal. As an artist, you know, being an artist is like being in business for yourself. Because that's essentially what it is. You know, where even if you're working on a gig or you know, a design job or an acting job or a dancing gig or a play date as a musician, you're in business for yourself. And in order to get business, you have to promote your business.
Sure, and I mean, some publicists will tell you to join.
Exactly.
I mean, publicists tell me to join MySpace.
There it is.
You know, and it's just kind of... Do you go with that, or do you go against it? Do you try to preserve whatever self-integrity that you have, or do you
preserve self-integrity, or get a MySpace account? Well, you know, I think that's, you know, it depends on why you're there.
Thanks
if you're there
for,
to promote yourself, I think yes. If you're there to network, okay. But you know, if you're trying to establish a position of integrity on the planet, you probably will question.
You're gonna look elsewhere.
You know, that's right. You know, that's not saying people in MySpace have no integrity, because, you know, William Shatner's on there, and, you know, come on. that says it all. Chris? Oh, Chris is not there. Let's see. That might be Chris trying to go, hello, you're on the air?
Yay.
All right, Chris is back. All right, now, Elena?
Yes.
I have some stories for you, and I even have stories for Tana. Tana, you have stories.
I do.
And life is like science fiction, and I also have a lot of one of the other things that we have here on the show. One of the other sections is the ridiculous products. And I have to tell you, I saw so many. Tana, now this is probably your first time. Any thoughts on some of those Ridiculous products? Any particular product that stood out to you?
As being really ridiculous?
Yes, pretty ridiculous, yes.
No, I tend to order them.
Stop. Okay. Well, one of my favorites here was the baby toupee.
Okay. No way.
I swear to you. See, I said to you, you didn't open up the link. The baby toupee. The
oh,
baby
that's
toupee,
great.
Yes.
That one didn't open.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not right.
Yeah,
that's,
see,
it's
it
basically, you know,
either.
you put these various toupees on your baby, and you go to babytoupee.com, okay? I swear to you. Baby toupee, and they I swear to you, and they have all these toupee, like dreadlocks, you know, like Nixon hair, Donald Trump hair, that you can put on your baby and go, look how funny. So, can you imagine? Baby toupee.
That's a great name for a band.
Yes, it is. That's a great name for a band. That is. That's it. To see, there it is. Baby
toupee.
Baby toupee. Live. Live.
Baby toupee live.
There it is. Did you go to babytoupee.com, Chris? I know you're online going to Baby Toupee.
No, I'm not online, but I
don't lie. Don't lie.
No, I'm on the phone. I'm sitting in my van.
Oh, that's right. You're in your van.
Out of the show. I'm in a minute, man. At 5 a.m., we're going to be hitting.
Where are you?
Flashlights, and we're going to be out.
I understand.
Treasure hunting.
Treasure hunting.
Treasure hunting for what?
You know,
well,
light bulbs.
Journey
light bulbs.
Exactly. So the other thing that there are a couple others that there are a couple I sent you and then there are a couple I didn't send you. Okay, but here's my favorite story of the night. I'll just read the title of the story. Maybe a little later. Police suspect giraffe in circus breakout.
Oh, I think I saw this.
Did you see that story?
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, police suspect giraffe. Joffrey. And then I have another one that I love is, you know, Joffrey found guilty. All right. Wasps use parasitic mites as baby bodyguards. I love it. Okay. Can't you just picture these tiny mites crawling all over these wasp babies, keeping away, you know, whatever, other predators. So,
why would we picture this?
I would picture that. I would, you know, clearly.
Really?
And how about this one? This is my other favorite title. Giant rubber snake could be the future of wave power.
Or a vibrator.
Let's stop. Elena, stop. Just stop yourself. Please stop. And how about this breastfeeding for dad? Did you know about that? They have these things like you can strap on this teat, okay, for
yeah,
the baby.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
Explain that to me, okay? I had a whole article there that you could click to with, you know, fathers who breastfeed. So, Elena.
If I grew up and, okay, talk okay. about resolution. And I had to, live with the image.
How screwed up are you? Like, you know, we had the image of, you know, suckling from your father's fake teat. You know what I'm saying?
See, think about it. You're like 13, 14. You see him, your father without a shirt on, mowing the lawn. Oh, I sucked that one.
You want to hug him. All right, so, I don't know.
That definitely did a
sizzler.
Maybe
it's me.
You know what you do is you get a baby toupee for the kid, you put it on it, and then you breastfeed it. You
exactly.
know,
and the next thing you know, you
breastfeed.
Exactly.
The next thing you know, you found the dad wearing the toupee. It's just.
That's right, while he's wearing Chris?
Yeah.
Did you ever wonder what would happen if James Brown were still alive and he hooked up with some modern. Indian music? Chris, have you ever wondered that?
Yeah, I've wondered that, yeah.
I know you did. I know you've been wondering. And I think it would sound a little bit like this if, like, James Brown's backup band went to India. Tell me that's not bizarre, okay? It is. It's like, what do you classify that under? Oh. All right, anyway. Chris?
Yes.
All right. Just want to make sure you're still
Was
there.
That playing down at 6th Street?
Yeah, exactly. You have a story, Tana. Do you want to read us one of your stories?
I do. I sort of usurped your stories.
Okay.
and found one of my own.
Did you? You were following the lead. All right.
I did, though.
Look
I did.
Look at that. She's following the lead. And the perfect. That's looking good.
You want me to tell you which story led me to this?
Sure.
It was the man that admits octopus porn download.
Now, come on. Does it get any better than
it doesn't.
Octopus
it
porn?
It really doesn't.
Okay.
And I actually went online and looked up octopus porn to see some of the videos.
Talk to me. They have octopus porn videos. Yes. I see. I didn't go that far. I was afraid.
There is. I don't know how naughty I can go on this, but there was actually like, and I say this in all due respect to octopi, that there was an octopus female being gangbanged by two other octopuses.
Stop.
And
stop.
What actually happens is you just see the three octopuses, and two of them have their long tentacles resting in her eyeballs. None of them are moving, but that's an octopus porn. So I guess somewhere on her face is also her reproductive organ.
Now, explain. Okay, now, just besides how the weirdness of picturing that, my question is, how could that be any kind of turn on to anybody?
Well, he didn't have a very high self-esteem.
No. Yeah, well, read the story. Read that story, because that's the best part. The final line in the story is the best part.
A man has admitted to an Australian court to downloading octopus porn and other images of sexual acts with ponies, tigers, and snakes.
Let's pause there for a second. Snakes. Okay.
That's the rubber snake.
No, I'm just picturing. What is snake porn? What are they just wrapped up like on the medical symbol? All right, go ahead.
And they're not really that exciting.
How
like,
could it
not
be?
Not that I've looked up a lot of them, but
you looked
honestly,
up snake porn too.
Well, you know,
that's
one
a good
life
name for a band.
Leads you to another snake porn.
Snake
I
porn.
I love it.
Live.
You know they okay yeah. So anyway, he basically.
Well, think of the new position
yes,
you come up with.
Baby Toupe with opening act, snake porn. Okay, good. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
You know, so he went to court. It wasn't that funny of a case, you know, because they were wanting to accuse him of possessing child pornography. But the lawyer said, in respect of the child exploitation material, while there's a lot of it, he only looked at 20%. He searched the internet for the bestiality material. But there was... his lawyer said that he sought out the bestiality porn because of a personality disorder, which gave him low self-esteem, that he thought of himself as some sort of a beast, which was actually kind of sad.
Thought of himself as some sort of beast.
Yeah.
So he downloaded Octopus. You know?
To each his own, I guess.
Life is like science fiction.
Deep, man.
Is that like you said, it is kind of sad. It's like... He, you know, he thought because he's a beast, he should, you know.
Yeah, or maybe even he's just really advanced. I mean, in Iowa, a lot of people do that with
you know, I never realized that there's, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't know that there was octopus porn.
Right.
There are always certain things.
In a weird way, it's kind of interesting to...
All right,
it's really interesting. You should...
So now how much, let me just ask you, Tana, if you want to admit, how much time did you spend watching the octopus porn?
Well, I told you it's really boring.
No, okay.
So it's honestly about 3 minutes and 38 seconds.
Wow.
But they're just sitting there with their tentacle in her eyeballs.
That's disturbing.
Ew.
That's disturbing.
Okay. It is, but it's kind of beauty of Animal Kingdom. And then...
Well, yes.
That led me to look up this that I thought maybe would be an interesting thing for people to look up while they're listening to the show.
Okay.
It's called a gooey duck.
A gooey duct.
A gooey duck. G-E-O-D-U-C-K.
Okay. A gooey duck.
And it's actually, gooey duck. And it's the largest clam and one of the longest living organisms in the animal kingdom. It has a life expectancy of 146 years. Okay, and it can be up to 2 meters in length. It's a clam. But if you look it up, it looks like something naughty. And it's you just have to look it up on the internet. It's one of the most fascinating mollusks I've ever seen. And it's also men... It's a Chinese thing, and men eat it like shark fin soup. Which
looks like a giant penis.
Yeah.
Woo!
But you seriously have to look at it. It's a clam.
I'm looking.
It looks like a big.
I want to see it.
You want to see the giant penis? All right, here it is. It looks like a. Yes, it does. It looks like a giant penis sticking out of a shell.
Oh, yeah, it's a big
penis.
But it
lives to be 146 years, and
that's an old
female
Gooey
duck.
It's a 145-year-old penis.
It can be up to two meters. 2 meters, and the female...
2 meters.
The female produces 5 billion eggs in her century-long lifespan.
5 billion eggs.
Can you imagine being... I mean,
wow.
That's a lot. That's a long time to live.
That's a lot of offspring.
That's
a lot of feminine products.
It is. That's a lot of PMS going on.
A lot of offspring. 5 billion children. Off of one clam. You know, it's just clamming around in the bottom of the ocean, just being a clam. You know, just kind of, here I am.
Fascinating.
Just a clam.
Chris, you know what Sean Connery would say to you?
What?
You're a stupid man.
It's a clam. I'm like, here I am.
That's about as old as that. Those clams.
Those clams.
Stupid.
Well, you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI, 99.5 FM. Tana, I know you're not connected to babytoupee.com, but you have your own website, too?
Yeah.
What is your website?
It's www.tanafrederick.com.
Now, I keep calling you Tana. Is it Tana?
It's okay. It's more annoying the way that I was born, the pronunciation I was born with. It's more of like a Midwest twang, like Tana, like... Tana. But www.tanafrederick.com.
There it is.
It is.
How do you spell Frederick?
F-R-E-D-E-R-I-C-K.
There it is.
Wendy?
Where are you living? You're not living in New York. You live in L.A., right?
I live in Los Angeles, yeah.
She's in orbiting now. She's in her spaceship, Chris. You want to take some phone calls later?
Sure. 212-209-2900.
Lainey, you have a story for us?
Sure.
212-209-2900. Go ahead.
Dad is turning into a woman. A father of five is desperate for help because he is turning into a woman. Pub singer Terry Wright...
Desperate for help. What is it? Mm-hmm. You know, for help? What kind of help?
For help because he can't stop turning into a woman.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I was gonna say, how do
you
help
think you
help
need
somebody?
Help, or maybe he just like
how
give
do I
up
help
on
you
it?
Turn? Like, you know, buy me some bras.
Give up on the resolution. Yeah. I just said I'm gonna become a woman. Pub singer Terry Wright said, "I'm a man, not a woman, and I
That's
do
a
not
song.
Want
that
to be a
woman." That sounds like a song.
No, I think it's a movie.
I'm a man, not a woman,
and I do not want to be a woman. I just want to get my life back to normal. He started losing his hair and beard 10 years ago. Since then, he has developed smooth skin, hot flushes, which hot flashes.
I'm maybe sure. He's a 4400.
And breast. What tests have revealed...
Breast or breasts?
Breasts.
Okay, like one giant teat. Again.
Blood tests have revealed Terry has abnormally high levels of the female hormone estrogen.
Estrogen, not ostrogen.
Estrogen.
Ostrogen.
But doctors who have examined him say they have never seen such a case and do not know what to do to reverse the process.
That's interesting.
Doctors call me an interesting case and unique, but I just want to go back to being a proper man. I get mocked by kids where I live who call me She-Man and other names. Once a child bumped into me and its mother said, "Say sorry to the lady." My mates are shocked at my appearance, but try to make light of it by saying I'm just a pretty good-looking man.
That's interesting. He's slowly turning into a woman, and he can't stop himself.
No, and they can't figure out the cause or how to reverse it.
Well, that's a pretty disturbing story.
That sounds like
something that would be made into a movie already. Tana?
Yes?
What are your thoughts on that one?
I think he has a little resolving to do.
Yes, yes.
I mean, where does he live that people are so critical of it, too? You know, Arkansas.
That's
is that true. Bad? Oh, that's
not,
bad.
It's not a big
national
city.
Radio.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's not a big city, let's just say that.
No, but there's so many men who want to be want to be females now.
Totally.
Although, you know, that just shouldn't make them grateful for it. But that's interesting, you know. That is interesting, considering the first man gave birth recently.
Yeah, that's a whole disturbing
sense. And can breastfeed the baby.
There it is. It doesn't have to strap anything on. A lady particularly likes that image.
Yeah, strapping on something bigger. Woo! I recommend that to all our male listeners.
She reprimands strapping it on. All right. on that note.
They could be our male octopus.
Giant.
One, two, three, or four.
Exactly.
And strap.
All right, let's see.
One is not enough.
Let's see if we're getting a call. Hello, you're on the air. Hello. I think that's the bad line. Hello, you're on the air.
The media's got to go. This is nonsense radio.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on the air. He calls every week, by the way, Donna. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, plants have been known to do that. Male plants.
Yes, turn female. But this is a human. This is a human.
I guess humans could do the same. I don't know exactly how.
All right, well, thank
you. He's only 60 years old.
Thank you for that.
Started turning.
And sir, what's your name?
Ron. Yeah, pot plants, male pot plants have been known to turn into hermaphrodites and flower buds.
Well, I sent you another story about frogs that have been turning male to female. Did you
yes,
remember?
He did.
That's where I found that somewhat fascinating. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, people.
Is this Jeffrey?
It is Michael. Is this Michael?
Yes, it is. Jeffrey,
Anna.
Anna.
Yeah.
Now I understand your name. It's Montana, right. Dan, what's up, Tana?
Hi, how
hey,
are
Chris.
You?
Hey, Chris. Elena.
Hello, how are
I can
you?
I can address the geo clams, like the geo gooey duct.
Yeah.
In Japanese restaurant, may I say this real fast, Mike?
Jeffrey, is there any other way for you to say it?
Well, no, I'm saying...
Yes, try and enunciate.
Elena is doing the news story, but and this is the previous story, so I'm asking if it's okay if I interrupt to contribute this.
Jeffrey, do you realize how much time you've been on the phone to ask whether or not you can say something?
Ha, ha, ha. So anyway, in Japanese restaurants, you'll see that says giant clam on the menu. And what that is the phallic-shaped thing, which is cut into maybe 30 to 40 pieces. But here's the image. Picture what they call a skimmer, Chris, the soft shell clams?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a giant skimmer.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey. I'm very glad.
Wait, Michael. Further, Discovery Channel did a thing on it with that guy Mike Rowe, and he did a whole harvesting of the geoducts. Have you guys seen Mike Rowe? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, dirtiest jobs.
Right, dirtiest jobs. This is one of the dirtiest jobs, right. And they grow them in fields, like, you know, they harvest them in fields. It's, you know, I didn't know about the 146 years, and that's incredible.
And they are $30 to $60 a pound, and it's an $80 million industry in the United States.
$80 million industry?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he's absolutely right, so.
You know, they look like...
A sushi and eat it. Huh?
There was a movie called Deadly Spawn. You ever see that movie? Of course not.
No.
You know, please, Donna, if you had, I wouldn't even know what to say to you. But,
but you would have been speechless.
I would have been totally speechless because I never even saw the movie, but I know about it, and I've seen the artwork. But they've got somebody in a gooey duck costume.
Oh, I need that costume.
Okay. Looks like a green tamale.
And
right.
The story why it's called gooey nut. The pronunciation. Also, Michael, Chris, on the resolution thing, music, man. I'm right down that path with you. We're both drummers. We got to talk music, Chris. Not in the show, not now.
Chris, do you notice how he tries to bond with you?
No, stop, Michael. I can't believe tries at 18 years. You're saying tries to bond with him. That's good. That's good.
Jeffrey.
He's been listening for 18 years, but you got to give him something.
You call that trying to bond with Chris after 18 years? Okay. Chris.
Yeah, I'm right.
We have to talk at another venue about music someday, man. All right, people. Good night.
Well,
good night.
Jeffrey hangs up on himself. Todd, are you there?
Yeah, he has a good voice.
Well, you know, that's sort of like Tom Carvel. Had a good voice.
It's not as good as
he's
you.
He's actually really cool. He's a cool guy.
He's a cool guy.
Sounds funny.
You want to invite him over, Chris?
No, but we met him. Remember we met him?
Yes,
I do.
Is
there an ongoing feud there?
What's that?
Is there an ongoing feud there between me and Chris?
Yes.
Christy, okay.
What?
Are you guys just really dear close friends?
No, he's a listener who has called many times. And back in the day,
you know, when we first did this show years ago, we had people that were like, a lot of people wanted them. Now look back, like, right? To our thing. No, it was really strange for us because it was like all of a sudden we hosted some party, right, Mike? And then all these people.
Yeah, we used to throw parties at clubs and stuff.
Yeah, so there was like 20, 30, or 40 people that would just come down to the stage. They all wanted to meet us. I don't know why. They wanted to meet Mike, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, so it was just kind of... So it was cool. You know, it was kind of... I don't know.
Yeah. Because he sounds like he knows you guys and has grown up with you and gone to elementary school with you.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, He's been listening for a long time.
And you know, like, Mike... And, you know, it's weird because it always sounds like... You know, you just want to hang out. Like, Mike and I have that, you just want to hang out with us vibe, you know, with Elena, 2 seconds. You just want to hang out with us, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why people translated it to, like, let's
But then
hang
if you
out.
Met us, you wouldn't really want to hang.
But Elena's a freak, and Elena's cool.
Totally cool.
What about the first guy? Is he generally commenting?
Well, Mike's trying to bring him
Who? Who am I trying? What are you talking about?
The media.
The guy that's like, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest.
Oh,
no,
he's, you know.
Does he just have that one catchphrase that he says every
week? No, he's got a few more. He's the king of all media. There's no other news but him.
And the problem is that he should stop doing that because we would actually let him just talk, or Mike would just let him just, you know,
well, that's all he really,
he doesn't have to keep saying
it's,
that.
It's all he really has to say.
If
you keep doing the show with us, Tana, you will learn.
It's okay. Like a soap opera. It's kind of exciting.
Well, no, you don't know the half of it. There are people who have... were regular callers who then met off air.
Got married. All
kinds of people like that. Like, we had a people call that they had listened like 10, 12 years ago, and they didn't know each other, but then they met, started dating, and found out that they were like both secret fans of Night Shift, and now they do their own kind of like fake Night Shift on the internet radio.
Oh,
is that away. Like they grew up listening to Night Shift because they were like whatever 15 when they started listening.
Have you ever actually been asked to do a ceremony for anybody because it was so
well?
Significant to them?
Interesting that you should ask that. There was I have a childhood friend that I knew for many years. Her name is Sandra Hines, and she started dating a guy, like finally met this really good guy, and however it came up, she happened to mention she knew somebody on their talk radio, whatever, she knew me, and it turns out he had been a fan for like 10 years listening to the show, and as a result, they were going to get married. He asked me to be the best man, so I had his bachelor party here live on the air. We had belly dancers, the whole thing. So is that bizarre or what?
That's great. No, I love that. I really love that sort of intimacy, you know, and a lot of Henry Jaglom's films are like that,
oh,
too.
Oh, definitely.
Where, you know, it's not that he completely appeals to the mass population, but the people who love him really love him and have gotten married over films like Deja Vu. Or,
oh, really?
You know, he has men calling him up, asking him for props from the movie, or where can I get my wife a pair of shoes like the one that Victoria wore in Deja Vu, because we met to this movie, fell in love to this movie, and now we've been together 23 years. And, you know, that kind of thing goes on. I love that intimacy of, you know, this radio, your radio program's kind of like that, too.
That's very intimate.
The most bizarre one was Mike and I were in a cab, and we're talking, and the guy goes, "You're fucking Chris, aren't you?"
Yes, I do.
The driver?
Yes, I do.
Were you wearing clothes at the time?
Yes, he had strapped on one of those mollusks.
Mike and Chris like to ride cabs around town.
Strap on his gooey duck.
Naked.
Mike had a little baby disturbing. Pet. His baby toupee on.
Shut up.
Mike is Baby Toupee. That's your new name.
Baby Toupee.
That's what Chris. That's what's on his chest.
your baby toupee, Mike. I'm sorry you never said that. I'm never going to forget that.
Chris.
Your baby toupee.
Donna, Chris amuses himself.
He has to.
Well, you're tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. The name of the show is Night Shift. I'm Mike Sargent. We're here with Tana Frederick, star of two Henry Jackman films so far.
Hi.
Now, Tana, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Jaglom question. What is, now that you've, and because I know the feeling of like being aware of an artist or working with an artist, then getting to know them as a person, then you go back and you get to see their art. And because you know them, you can see some of them in their art. What's your favorite Henry Jaglom film?
Well, that's a tough question because, you know, loving Henry and in all respect to Henry, he's a complete narcissist. And so all of his films are all about him all the time. And I can say that, you know, like I said, out of respect, and he loved me saying that because he knows that he's a narcissist, and a lot of his films are about being a self-proclaimed narcissist and about people, you know, proclaiming or claiming their narcissism. So anyway, that being said, I think one of my...
Proclaiming their narcissism. I like that.
Quote, quote, unquote. But that being said, I love his film Always But Not Forever, which is his movie about his divorce with his first wife, where he actually, Orson Welles actually told him when he was in the middle of this divorce and she was leaving him and he was, you know, crying, sobbing and watching soap operas, and Orson Welles said, you know, get off your tush and go make a movie and bring her back, film a movie about a man being left, and you know, and use this material, use it to your advantage. And so he actually filmed while they were getting their divorce. He had the notary come in, they signed their divorce papers, and where that, you know, today might be something like reality television, you know, that it really is a beautiful film. It's called Always But Not Forever, and it's just, he was very open and honest, and it is him going through resolution.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said it, because I'd be curious now to see his thoughts on resolution, what the importance of resolution, and if there's anything he could talk about or admit.
Let's call him.
He's actually here in the editing room. Should I get him?
Sure. Well, tell him what we want to ask him.
He'd love it. Although you might not be able to get him off the phone, but that added to 80% of your listeners.
Henry Jaglom.
Hold on just a second. Talk amongst yourselves.
Chris, you made an observation before, and I think you were right.
What are you talking about?
We'll talk about it off air.
Oh, you're saying like a long time ago?
Yes, not a long time ago, but you know, a couple months ago. Well, you're tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio. We're going to groove for a minute, and in a few minutes, we're going to have Henry Jaglom.
Yeah,
I'm back on.
You're back on. Is Henry there?
Yeah, I'm going to pass on the phone.
Okay.
Hi.
Henry Jaglom, how are you?
I am well. What's up?
All right, well, we had a question. We wanted to get the wisdom of the sage, yeah.
Yeah, that's me, a sage. Like a sage brush. That's what I am. What can I tell you?
All right, well, here's a question. The theme of the show is resolution.
Resolution.
And more specifically, you know, how have you benefited from it, or how are you losing out from not having it? You know, what do you feel you need to resolve in your own life or relationships? And what I was saying at the beginning of the show is that I think the one thing that can kill relationships faster than anything, or more permanently, are unresolved issues between people. And I want to know your thoughts on resolution. And
yeah, well, not just unresolved issues, but unexpressed issues.
Completely. That's why they're not resolved, because you can't even talk about them.
Yeah, well, the big danger in relationships is people encourage each other not to tell the other person things that they're afraid are going to scare the other person away, or antagonize the other person, or make the other person not like them. And then you start building up a whole series of communications based upon some kind of artifice and some kind of illusion. And then it's harder and harder to break that illusion and confront the reality of who you really are to the other person for fear of alienating and losing them, which becomes a deeper trap. So I have always believed that the only way to have a successful relationship is to resolve, as using your word, to resolve to, at the very beginning of relationships, confront the other person with probably what you think are the most unattractive truths about yourself, and commit, you know, yourself to telling that full and open and honest truth to that person, and see if they run away. And if they don't run away at the very beginning, you're in good shape, and you might, like, you know, then, you know, you might work it out together. I think it's very important you also encourage the other person really intensely to tell you all the truths that they fear, that if they reveal about themselves will chase you away. And once you've cleared all of that out of the way, early on, hopefully, in the relationship, I think it can build on based upon some reality.
Well, let me ask you now, I mean, in your life experience, how many people are that brave?
Six.
Six?
No, it's a joke.
Okay.
How many people? I mean, it depends, you know. Very few.
That's what I was going to say.
I agree completely. But those are the valuable relationships. Those are the ones that remain. In my experience, men are worse at this than women. Men have a harder time dealing with, like, accepting the truthfulness about revealing stuff about themselves that makes them really vulnerable. Women are conditioned from early on to know that expressing their vulnerabilities and their fears and their needs does not necessarily make them less of a woman, whereas men are told sometimes, and quite a bit by society, that it makes them somehow less of a male. So I think it's harder for men, and I think women have to encourage men in relationships to do that. But there are plenty of women who hide the truth as well, and it's up to us then to encourage them to tell us the truth.
Well, I'll tell you what I have noticed, if we're talking about differences between men and women in terms of resolution. I do think what you're saying is true, but I also think one thing that women do that men don't do as much, you know, in the generalizing way we're speaking, is women don't let go. Like, you do something and they will not let go of it. And they don't let go of it between each other.
That's true. Women hold on much more to it.
They hold on to things, and I couldn't tell you how many women I know I've met where, like, they don't talk to their mother or their sister or whatever because they've held on to that. Men do have a tendency to let things go.
Men have a tendency to let things go, but they also have the tendency to skim over the surface of things.
Completely.
And not really.
And to not reflect at all.
And not really consider or reflect at all.
I have to agree with Mike, though. We do hold on.
You do?
Like a little pit
bull. And, you know, it's a woman.
You hold on because of those things are very important. I think that that's not necessarily an entirely negative aspect, you know. It just has to be broken through with full communication. I mean, the job is to see what the other person you care about is doing and fully communicate with them, and if they are resisting communication, to help them break through it as you insist on breaking through it yourself.
No, I agree, but it also can leave us into some sort of, like, emotional warp.
What do you mean? What do you mean an emotional warp?
Meaning, like, by not, like, holding on and being just completely becoming introverted, we're not able to, like, turn left or turn right in any other direction as we start to move along. Or not move, lack of moving along.
I'm afraid I don't follow this. You mean holding on to not expressing what you're feeling?
Exactly. It almost becomes like an addiction.
But I think men are much, much worse at expressing what they feel truthfully or feeling than women are.
I agree with that. I think that men are more inclined to distract themselves from their feelings to go on to the next thing.
And women are more willing to confront it, but I do think that they hold on more to the emotional hurt or the emotional feeling of having been injured or something like that. I mean, in ways that men
and
can't
what
even
I'm
imagine.
Exactly, and I'm agreeing with that. And what I'm thinking is it's almost an addictive stagnation. Like, we can keep hurting.
Well, you know, it's like though it's like what we were kind of jokingly, half jokingly saying that Captain Kirk said in that Star Trek movie was, you know, the question is, are we defined by our pain? Is our pain what defines us?
No, it's not. Pain isn't what defines us, but the degree to which we openly express our truth to the other person in our relationship does define us.
Sure, but also the amount of pain that we hold on to, you know, because a lot of times, you know, fear equals pain. Pain equals fear. You know, you've been hurt, so you're afraid of being hurt again. So you do what you do to avoid that pain.
But that's a very short-term solution because the ultimate pain comes from non-communication with somebody else.
Completely.
Living a lie with somebody else, from being with somebody in a non, you know, fully expressed communication, and then therefore discovering finally after years sometime that you don't know each other, that you're not really telling each other the truth. So though it is a short-term painful process, I think it's the most important and necessary process you can commit to, which is to really get it out in the open as much as, you know, I would recommend to anybody entering relationships that they immediately, within the first months of the relationship, tell the things that they think are the most terrifying about themselves, the most unpleasant, the most negative aspects of themselves to the other person, really honestly.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As you're talking, you know, I'm getting to know you a little better, you know, because I've seen your movies. But now I can see why you write what you write. But I also think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, a number of your films are kind of cautionary tales, too.
They are cautionary tales, sure.
That's what I feel.
They intend to be, but they also intend to just sort of, you know, help people feel less alone and less like they're the only ones going through whatever the particular theme of the film is, whether it's a film like eating and the issue of for women of food, or just communication, feeling of liking someone to love, the feeling about relationships. I mean, I want people to feel in the audience, by breaking down that wall between the film and the audience, that they are not the only ones going through it. So many of the letters I get, so many of the emails and communications say are you know, feel good because they say, my God, I'm not the only one. Whatever this thing is about, I'm not the only one experiencing it. And I always refer back to this wonderful 1970s album, comedy album, by a group called the Fire Sign Theater, that's called, the name of which is We're All Bozos on This Bus.
Oh, I know. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I love it.
What it's about for me is just acknowledging we're all going through the same journey, and somehow we have to, you know, let each other share it, let each other know about it, and not pretend, because otherwise we feel isolated and alone, like we're somehow not only crippled in a certain way, but feel guilty about being crippled and about being the way we are, and it's a dirty or dark secret of our own. So to bring things out in the light is everything. It's communication is the most important.
You know, you talking in there makes me think of something else. It's somewhat off topic here, and I'd like to get your thoughts on it, because I read something that I thought was pretty good, and I'd be interested in your insight on this. You know, we're in the age of the superhero, you know, where all these superhero movies are coming out, and, you know, comic books are being adapted left and right. I just went to see Hellboy tonight and give a review of that. You know, we've got Hancock, Batman, this, you know, Hulk. There's all these superhero movies are coming out, and on TV you've got Heroes, you had the 4400, you have all these things about people with special powers. And there was an interview with an actor from the 4400 named Billy Campbell, who ironically, you know, came to fame playing a superhero, the Rocketeer, back almost 20 years ago. And they asked him, well, why do you think there are all these, you know, superheroes and movies and TV shows of people with powers going on? And he said, well, I think it's a reflection of the powerlessness we all feel right now in the world. And that's why our most favorite fantasies are where we have special powers and can do things beyond what we really are able to do.
Yeah, you know what I think is wrong with that is the words right now. The implication being somehow we feel more vulnerable now, and that's more something of our time. I grew up more than 20 years ago, and when I grew up, what I liked to do was read comics, and they were all the superheroes, from Hoppy the Marvel Bunny and the Marvel family to Batman and Robin and Superman and all of that. I don't think that's anything new. I think you're right that addresses the feelings of powerlessness, especially in adolescence. But I think I don't think it's a really new phenomenon. I just think Hollywood has discovered they can make a lot of money because there's a lot of boys in the audience, or men who are still boys, who want to go and see those movies. And I do think it talks to feelings of powerlessness, but I don't think that that's changed in any way because of external circumstances. I grew up during a period, you know, in the 50s when they, you know, we thought we were practicing getting under our desks for fear of an atomic attack. We were taught in school a drill to get under our desks and file peacefully out and down to the basement as if that was going to help us. You know, so I mean, there's always been fear, and comic books are one of the many ways that the children release those fears. Superheroes, you know, are allowing us to have metaphors for power that we don't feel, you know, actually that we enjoy.
Henry Jaglom.
Henry, you are like no joke, man. You know, it's like I could just sit here and you could just talk forever, man. I love it.
Thank you. Can I get back to my editing room, though?
We can get back to the editing room.
Unless there's something else, I'd be very happy. I mean, I enjoy it.
No, we're good. I just wanted to get a little bit of Henry Jaglom in there.
Oh, you're really nice. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners. I'm going to hand you back to the magnificent, extraordinary Tana Frederick. I wish you could see what I'm doing on my editing machine, what she has done in this next film.
Oh, really?
Time.
I'm down.
She's incredible.
I'm down.
You're down. Okay.
All right.
And here is Tana Frederick.
That's embarrassing. I paid him to say that.
Yeah, did you? He slipped him a five before he went back in the editing room.
Yeah, I slipped him a couple of gooey ducks.
Gooey ducks, exactly. Well, that, you know, I could say a whole bunch of things, but I won't. All right, now, what's the phone number here, Alina? A lot of people have been calling throughout this whole time.
212-209-2900.
Hello, you're on the air.
You read The Printithia by Isaac Newton?
The Printithia? No, I have not. It sounds like a fantasy planet.
Kipia, Printithia.
Printithia, no. Spell it.
If you read that, you'll never be the same.
All right, well, I'm not the same now, actually, so. Look at that. Hello, you're in the air.
No.
How did dial tones call up? Do you know how that's... Hello, you're in the air.
You don't know what you're doing with the phone.
Hello.
Yeah, but I disagree with Henry.
You disagree with Henry?
Yeah, during the Renaissance, you had Fra Angelico, who drew angels, which was a need for supernatural power. It wasn't fear, but a positive feeling of supernatural power.
Listen, when you call, you have to have a point.
I do have a point. I do love
it's
you.
It's better for the listener.
I do love your show very much because you have good balance anyway, you know? You have good estrogen on your show. And I love your mustache also. You actually look very distinguished, like a very thoughtful and caring muff diver.
Thank you. Thank you. You see what I mean, Tana? You ever heard of this?
It only gets better.
There's a song called The Freaks Come Out at Night. All you have to do
freaks
is add a shift
come
in
there.
Out
at night.
See, the freaks are in the theater. Studio, hello. Okay, let's see. What's the phone over here again, Leah?
212-209-2900.
Now, Tana, you have another story for us?
Do I have another story? Yeah. I couldn't download, you know, I have trouble downloading some of the stories. Just
we all them. Do. Don't get me. And he starts yelling on the phone about, you haven't opened my blah, blah, blah.
Elena.
Meanwhile, I froze my computer.
I'm going to give you something that you will not be able to let go of.
Is it big?
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, there are too many gates here.
I understand. All right, Tana.
Okay, this is just part of it. This is about the monkeys grabbing food, or monkeys using a robotic arm. And then there's the toads one, but I guess I only printed off half of it. So, I guess...
You can paraphrase it.
Okay, so toads living in farm country, the gentleman toad tends to resemble the girl toads, both inside and out. And so... Toads and other amphibians throughout the world are under siege. Blah, blah, blah. To investigate whether these problems... it's super lengthy. And I don't really know what... I don't know how to sum this up because I didn't read it before. But
it's talking
about male and female toads' reproductive systems being essentially the same.
Well, I found it interesting considering the fact, you know, Elena had this story about a man that's turning into a woman and then toads are turning into females, and the other guy called up and talked about plants that do that. And it's interesting, like, what defines or creates a gender in terms of what nature needs. I found it fascinating.
It is interesting.
Well, I had a story I was going to send you. Police suspect giraffe and circus breakout. I love this story. It says 15 camels, 2 zebras, and several llamas and pot-bellied pigs escaped from a circus visiting Amsterdam early Monday.
We suspect that a giraffe kicked open a pen, Dutch police said in a statement, adding that the animals did not get far before they were rounded up and returned to the circus. I just love it. Police suspect giraffe.
Nobody touched nothing. Giraffe is
bizarre.
No one touches.
Elena. Do you have a story?
Me. Doctor fined for accidentally severing man's penis.
Well, what kind of fine do you get?
$800,000 in compensation to a patient whose penis has accidentally been severed during an operation.
What kind of operation did he go in for?
Tonsillectomy,
you know.
He was operating on the man's testicle, so at least he was in the vicinity.
Oh, okay.
Severing the penis instead of making an incision to the testicle.
What was it, like an oops moment? What happened?
It had been superficial in his approach to the operation. Ordered the fine and handed him a 1-year suspended prison sentence. The ruling can be appealed.
It's like, what are you in for? Got no penis.
And this is even more interesting. A piece of muscle from the man's arm has now been attached to where his penis was.
Stop.
Whoa.
But its function is aesthetic. So it doesn't really work.
It doesn't really work, but he's got a little piece of muscle.
He needs
one
of those fancy fat stamps.
That's just some disturbingness, I can tell you.
He's only 33 years old.
Oh, man. Like you just have a hanging muscle from where your penis once was. That's, you know, maybe you need to grab
and
a couple
of... it's part of your arm. And then so you have to look at your arm for the rest of your life and be like, that's where my penis is.
Graft a gooey duck. Well, probably looks more like, you know...
And do you start to resent your arm? Being like, ugh, you're just a constant reminder of what my penis really is now.
Elena? You're truly a
strange... Curse you, arm! Curse you, arm!
Strange woman, Elena.
And
now let me ask you,
and what
Tana,
if you lose the rest of the arm?
You
do you wish you didn't give it to your penis?
What is Elena like in waking life? You
know? It's kind of like when you give your kidney to a friend or whatever. Can I get the arm back from my penis? Well, say if you lost your arm, and then now you're wishing you have that penis arm back.
Elena, I am not following you in any way, shape, or form.
She's random.
Think about it being to athletics or something like that.
It's a new good slang word.
Product.
Let's just create a new slang term.
Can I get my arm back?
She's random. Elena, she's random.
I'm random.
Okay, so you have products, Mike?
I do. I have some amazingly ridiculous products. Hold on. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
When do you think Queen Elizabeth is going to step down?
When she passes.
You think she's going to stay the course, huh?
Yeah, what do you think?
I think she's going to get too old to be able to do it.
And you think she's going to admit that and step down? And then become what?
Just what?
The ex-queen? Like, what's she exactly? What's she going to do?
Countess.
Is that what happens when you step down from being queen? You become the countess?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Did you know that, Tana?
I didn't know that.
I see. Well, thank you, sir. What's your name?
Bob.
Queen Elizabeth.
What? No. What's your name?
Bob.
And where are you calling from, Bob?
Brooklyn, of course.
So, Bob, any things that you've resolved or need to resolve in your life?
Yeah, I have to resolve my smoking.
Why do you smoke?
I enjoy it. And
why do you want to stop?
Because it's breaking me financially, and it's my
health. Yeah, cigarettes are expensive in here. How much are cigarettes in L.A., Tana? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. Are they $4-something, $5-something?
There it is. They're like $8-$9 in here.
Oh, maybe they are more expensive.
New York's got the highest taxes in the country, I believe.
$8 a pack.
That's heavy. Yeah. Like somebody wants to bum a cigarette, and you're like, yeah, and give me $2.
I'm on disability.
I hear you. Well, then you do need to resolve that. You need to stop smoking cigarettes.
Well, the doggone patches won't stay on.
The patches won't stay on?
The cheap ones that they give you for free.
Yeah.
I even bought some surgical tape, and the surgical tape wouldn't stay on.
Perhaps you need to bathe, sir.
That's not right, Mike.
No, I'm kidding.
Duct tape, man.
You have to put duct tape on your neck. You try, people go,
duct tape works
why
well.
Do you have duct tape on your neck? Well, I'm trying to stop smoking. That's just...
You know what happened? I forgot to clean the spot off with alcohol.
I understand, babe.
Ew.
And you went out with some duct tape glue on your neck.
Duct tape.
And then your shirt stuck to your skin.
Actually, duct tape feels good on your skin.
Elena.
Daffy duct tape.
I'm not going to even touch that. You understand?
It's like massaging and soft.
What?
Elena.
Elena, you are a freak.
She is a freak. She is.
You are a freak. You put duct tape you on go your to the, head?
All right, somebody's asking Tana
no,
a question.
No, on my body.
Bob, you talking to Tana?
Oh, did she know how to do the grip?
Do you know how to do the grip, Tana?
What's a grip?
Do you want to know? Stop while you're ahead.
Yes, as they give you when you ask you have a baby.
The grip,
the Vulcan.
What?
I don't know. Do you need a grip?
Yeah, I used to have a lady that would do it.
Hey, Hellboy! What's your...
Right at the point of climax.
The grip. Right at the point. Are you two talking in code?
That's
what Plato Benjamin calls it.
I understand.
What?
Actually, a physician's name for it.
You got to understand, she's an actress. When you say grip, she thinks of something else. Don't you think of something else?
I'm Huckleberry.
Something technical. Have you tried to use a grip to quit smoking?
No,
unfortunately, that lady's not in my life anymore.
Okay.
You only knew one lady who knew how to do the grip?
Yeah.
That's it.
A lot of women in Los Angeles know how to work a grip.
Oh,
that's how they get their job.
Is that why you don't
exactly.
got Exactly. You put that in under.
I think you're living on the wrong coast.
Exactly. Put that under special abilities. You know?
Good totally
grip.
Special skills,
exactly. Excellent grip. And in brackets, here, let me show you. So there it is. Well, you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. It is 1:45 in the morning. Now, for those who normally listen to the show, we're normally on till 2. And Tana, keep in mind, we're not going to keep you if you are beginning to fade. But tonight, we're actually going to be on till 3, because Tony Short is not coming in. So, there it is.
That's the sad thing about Los Angeles, is everybody's in bed here by 10 o'clock.
Oh, are you kidding?
What?
I know. I went to Los Angeles,
yeah.
And I was thinking, like...
They're doing the grip.
I thought it was like going to be in the movies, you know? Like, in the movies, right. You always see people out at night. I went out there New Year's Eve. I was, like, 20 years old.
Oh, God.
New Year's Eve on Sunset Boulevard, and I was expecting a crowd. It was, like, New York, like, in the middle of the day.
And you go to the parties, and there's, like, a separate room for people in AA right before midnight. It's really funny. I mean,
there is no nightlife in L.A. That's what I guess. You've got to, like, create your own. If I came out there, when I live out there, I would be, like, throwing my own parties.
It's true.
That's it. That's all you're going to do. You'd be like,
Blake, you do that so much
Blake
of that
Edwards.
Gear, you big
what?
Geek.
Hey, weren't we together on that New Year's?
Yes. No, I was with Tony. I went out there with Tony from New Year's Eve. We went to the Whiskey A Go Go.
We went out for New Year's Eve. What are you talking
about?
Dude,
was Tony with us? Was it all three of us? Yes, you're right. It was. That's right. I'm sorry.
It was 1988.
Holy smoke.
It was 1988.
1988.
You know how bad he is? It's 1988, dude.
1988, and we went out to...
I flew out separate, and you guys flew out...
Oh, that's right. That's why I'm remembering it was Tony.
Yeah,
so there it is.
Because I flew out the day before you guys and sent you out there.
See?
That was incredible. You know what? They have the big parade, right?
The parade is the parade during New Year's?
What'd you say?
There's a gay parade.
My favorite weapon is the Five Finger Mary.
I think you're on the air.
Have you heard the new Rich Havens album?
What's that?
Have you heard the new Rich Havens album?
You got to talk, you got to speak English, sir.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I actually play guitar, and I had an interesting idea. Let's say if I was really this big, excellent, famous guitar player, I was thinking this would be funny. I'm on the stage, and I'm playing this electric guitar with this long solo.
Hello?
It's like about 5 minutes long, and I got, like, while I'm playing and while I'm doing a solo and people are cheering, I have a tampon in my mouth, you know, like I'm biting on it, like some...
Well, there it is.
That's a great idea.
I've always wanted to see a really hot guy with a tampon in his mouth.
That's right, yes. And
that's
be
the opening act of the baby toupee.
The baby toupee is where he's got a tampon in his mouth, and then
yeah.
He dips it in a teacup. He's a vampire. All right, you're on the air.
The greatest example of human thought.
Yes.
By Isaac Newton, The Principia. You've got to read it. It's over 500 pages.
Well, you said I'll never be the same.
No.
I don't know. Can I still do the show? Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Hello, Mike.
Yes.
Wait, do you hear me better?
I hear you the same.
Oh, no, it's because of my speaker.
I understand.
No, I mean the speaker and the phone, sometimes it breaks up a little, but people can hear me. I can't always.
Is this Felicia?
Yeah.
Did you say hello to Tana?
To who?
Tana.
Tana?
Tana.
Tana like banana.
Yeah.
Tana like banana.
Tana, hi.
Hi, Felicia?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, good as ever and getting better.
That's a good way to be.
Yeah, sort of.
Do you have unresolved issues?
Pardon?
Do you have any unresolved issues?
Not really. Only when I get frustrated when I'm doing a new song I write and then I can't remember a line. But no, that's no big deal.
Ginkgo.
But unresolved issues. Depends. I keep changing.
That's exactly what women say. They're unresolved issues.
You're unresolved about being unresolved.
Exactly.
I think unresolved issues are like, you know, for me would be like I would like to have enough money that I don't have to be concerned about my income much anymore because I'm on SSI. And I think I'm going to get there someday.
Okay, well, we will be rooting for you.
I've been working on some novels.
Don't call it a novel, call it a bestseller. Hello, you're in the air.
Yes, good morning, Mike. Yes. I want to congratulate you on many years on the show.
Sorry, yeah, you were starting to be consumed by feedback. Now, what'd you say there, sir?
I just want to congratulate you on your many years of success. You still have this show, and it's still just as good as it's always been.
Thank you.
Since back in 91 when I first heard it.
You were listening back in 91?
I was, and I just got back from L.A., and I just see you're still here.
Wow, look at that. Since 91. Chris, 91, and Chris is still on the phone. You hear Chris? Chris is still here.
Yeah, I listen to it online every now and then when I get a chance.
I understand.
From out there on the West Coast, but I sent you an email.
Okay.
This is Tony the Growler. I don't know if
Tony
you remember
the
me.
Growler, of course. Totally.
Yeah, remember old Macy? I used to be on back then. Yeah, I'm the guy that's the actor, and you told me, keep on plugging it. Well, I made it, and I thank you for your inspiration. Thank you, Mike.
Well, you're welcome.
This show and WBAI is a learning experience. Definitely.
All right, Tony the Growler. See that, Tana?
That's so sweet. You actually told him to keep going.
Of course.
Guys, just as crazy as ever. I love it.
Yes, it is. Are you enjoying the show?
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's just as good as it's always been. It's always the greatest, and I just love this show.
You should come by, and we'll give you a grip.
No, we'll give you a baby.
Okay, thank you.
Elena will give you a grip. I'll give you a baby toupee. All right.
and I'll give you guys a good growl, you know. Grrr, remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You were working it. Yes, you did send me an email. I got your email.
Oh, okay, thanks, Mike. Yeah, and I'm going to keep on. You still coming on the same? Is it 12 to 2 every Monday night?
12 to 2 Monday night. Here.
Wow. And I met this
sponsored radio.
Oh, okay. Helena, Byron, all those guys.
Yeah.
Well, Byron is in Atlanta now, Byron. And now, just so you know, Tana, Chris was the first co-host. He was my first co-host. And then Chris left. He was consumed by an illusion. And then I had Byron. Byron was sort of the Roger Moore. He outlasted the original. And then I have Joe now. Joe's kind of like the Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, Joe, okay.
Joe, yes.
Why is he like the Pierce Brosnan?
Well, because he was the third co-host. The Pierce Brosnan was kind of the third James Bond. You know, I mean, he's really the fifth, but, you know.
I like so that. Okay.
There it is. That's right. Chris is the Sean Connery.
Mike's got his own way of figuring things
expressing
out.
Things, yes.
You know, and then, everything. Elena, when he's did you like, come on the...
Well, Elena's, you know, Elena, you've been here 6 years now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Six.
Elena's been here 6 years.
Okay. Wow, 6 years. Whatever happened to Maya?
Maya. Myra. Wow, Myra.
Myra, right.
I don't know. Yeah. Chris, what happened to Myra?
I don't know. She, I might get Myra.
Didn't she move somewhere? Yeah.
I don't know. She hooked up with what's his name? Remember?
Yeah,
from
she
the show?
Did. Yeah, that was another thing. Sometimes they'd hook up, Tana, and it didn't go well.
Yeah.
And they'd call up on the show and fight with each other.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you shut up. No, you shut up. We'd have to, like, pot them down, you know? So.
Because, like, you know, everybody would always be trying out. To. What were they trying to do? They were trying to.
Trying to hook up.
Mack each other. That's what it was. Everybody was macking. That was, everybody was hooking up, man. Myra. She sounded so sexy. You know?
All right, well, there's something else you should check out online. There's something called the Zaki Infant Pillow. It's Z-A-K-Y. Is that now Tana, did you get to see the Zaki Infant Pillow?
I didn't.
Okay, the Zaki Infant Pillow, believe it or not, it's a pillow, but coming out of the pillow are these hands, and you're supposed to place the baby into the hands, like one goes around its head, one goes around its butt. And the whole concept is, it's more comforting. It's as if you're there. So you have like these disembodied zombie hands holding the baby.
So what are you
in place.
Doing?
You're not
taking
doing anything.
Crack?
You just put it down on the thing. Tell me, I swear to you, are you online? Are you checking it out?
I don't feel like Zaki, holding the baby.
I'm online right now.
Zaki Infant Pillow simulates a mother's hand. That's right. Tana?
Z-A-K-Y.
Z-A-K-Y. Zaki Infant Pillow. Now, it's just disturbing. It's like, you remember
it's like
Thing?
Wacky with disease.
Yeah. You remember Thing from Adam's Family?
Adam's Family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like as if you had two things just holding the baby. That's what the pillow is. It's just these,
oh, yeah.
These
yeah.
hands.
Would this thing hold anything else?
Here, take a look at it.
I only have one.
You can probably bend it to do the grip if you want
to. Ew, it's so creepy. This is so disturbing.
Isn't that disturbing?
It's not good for the baby.
Come on. Who the baby he remembers being held by, like, zombie hands? You know, it's just bizarre to me. Are you online? Did you find it?
Not a baby tattoo.
Oh, you're not online. You can't find it.
Oh, maybe.
I didn't find it yet, Mike. I didn't find it yet.
Nothing, man. I'm
that's
sitting
right.
in my van.
You're sitting in your van. You need to get your iPhone.
Oh, excuse me, they're not available yet.
Listen, I'm getting mine on Friday. I'll be there online.
Hey, Mike, me too.
Mm-hmm.
You getting yours on Friday?
You damn right I am. I've been waiting.
8 o'clock Friday morning for all my zombies.
I'm there.
You know, they expect to sell 80 million of them.
I'm with it.
80 million what?
I only need one.
I'm with it.
What are you getting?
What about this one? Did you see the face harness? Did you get that one?
Like
you didn't
alien.
Get the face harness, Tana? All right. Well, the face harness, okay. This is an item.
Oh, man. It's giving me an idea. This is crazy.
These are crazy, Chris. This is a face harness. Is an item from 1933. Here, Elaine, I'll let you look at it. You describe what the face harness looks like. This is a product for women. And then you can read it.
No.
Yes, the face harness.
New.
What does it look like?
Elena, describe it.
It's like Hannibal Lecter.
Now, read the copy.
A new facial harness now on the market lays claim to the ability to improve beauty. How the device is worn is illustrated in the photo at the left. Sagging chins are lifted and unbecoming wrinkles are smoothed out around the lips, cheeks, and forehead. Manufacturers claim. It is worn overnight, removed in the morning. So basically, it's like a real screwed up.
It's like a harness you put on your face, and it supposedly pulls your chin in and your skin back on your lips.
Like headgear.
Let me just tell you.
Or no, it's
the entire beauty industry is based on the vanity of women, the imposed vanity of women. It's amazing.
No, it's like the electric chair.
Well, it's not exactly electric chair. It does look like the electric
chair.
No,
but but the harness. Yeah, the harness. On the head.
It's kind of disturbing, Tana.
Yeah, there's some really nasty products like that out here, especially. I have a friend who's particularly concerned about the whole neck chicken waddle thing, the gizzard thing. And she was getting her facial done, and I was with her, and she put this big this big patch on her neck.
Stop.
Women buy, and it actually has, like, acid in it.
Stop.
To, you know, it's supposed
put
to
some acid on your neck.
Back into the... And so she was
damn.
Sitting there next to me, like, crying, and like. It actually, you know, sort of... Made her chin longer in the long run.
Made her chin longer. Like she would have a smooth neck. She ended up looking like Jay Leno. And it's like, she looked like Jay Leno, and then she sounds like Marianne Faithfull because the acid went in. Ah, I look like Jay Leno now. So I don't know.
Now she's got like a penis chin.
Stop. 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 Now, you know, he's retiring. So, you know, that is bizarre. That life is like science fiction. What is that thing called?
Ass harness.
A neck peel. What is it called?
I don't remember. Plus the ass harness to get out all the wrinkles on your butt.
Who has wrinkles in their butt? I mean, come on.
No, you never seen the ass.
No, I've never seen any butts that are wrinkled. I just, you know, clearly.
You've never seen the ass
I led a privileged life. What?
You never seen the ass harness? I've seen that.
Well,
advertised.
You know, obviously you shop. You shop in different stores. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, ass harness.
You have cottage cheese buttocks.
You have cottage cheese buttocks, you said?
No, in theory.
Well, cottage cheese and wrinkles are two different things, you know.
I know, but the harness probably serves for the same purpose.
The harness. They have an ass harness?
Yes.
Why not just get, like, firming underwear?
No.
What do you need an ass harness for?
I'd like some firming underwear anyway.
If you've got cottage cheese butt, you guess you have to use the ass harness. She's right. Right on.
All right, there it is. Well, I guess that's good marketing. Go from this. To this, you know, from cottage cheese to Jell-O.
So, if you had like ass harness underwear and you did certain thrusts, do you
Elena,
think you could?
Elena, stop yourself. It's called FCC, Elena. All right.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.